Hello everyone and welcome to the Film Bunker podcast. My name's Nick and today I am here with...
Kelsey.
Hi, I'm Ben. I found out this week from Breakfast Television that apparently if you have a weak handshake, you're more likely to get a severe illness.
Alright.
How does that work? You're more likely to have a civilian.
Yeah, apparently.
You have arthritis,
basically. No, it was heart disease and lung disease.
Oh,
yeah. That's weird. Yeah, it is weird.
My name's Matt, and if I was in an action movie, my line would be, I'm allergic to terrorists. And then I'd go into anaphylactic shock and be taken to the hospital.
Okay. Lovely.
What?
Hi, I'm Simon, and I refuse to come up with a funny thing to say at the start of the podcast.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
And I can join never, the club.
Yeah. I can never think of anything and I sympathize.
I put in more effort than I ever should.
I have a long drive.
So today we were thinking of talking about Solo because it just came out. I want to start with some kind of initial thoughts from everyone that's seen it and what they, you know, if they thought it was good or bad, and then we'll go from there.
We can do spoiler.
Yeah.
And full spoilers.
And we will be going full spoilers. Yeah.
Of course.
So that death at the...
Well, you can start us off, Nick.
Well, like. Yeah, no, I liked it. I thought it was good. That's basically my overall opinion.
Okay. I walked in with like severely low expectations and ended up leaving a little bit happier than I thought I was going to. But overall, I would say like as a massive Star Wars fan, there are a few cameos I liked and there are a few things that I enjoyed. I wasn't offended, but I also wasn't really impressed.
I went into it being fairly optimistic, and then honestly, when I left, the more I thought about it, the worse it became for me. There's some stuff I liked, there's some stuff I really didn't like, and I've got a lot of weird jumbled thoughts about it that aren't actually that cohesive about it.
It's like a relationship just after a breakup.
You need that grieving process.
You're not wrong.
I was kind of miserable.
I woke up the next day, I was like, God, that shit.
Now I'm confused. Don't know how to feel about Donald Glover anymore.
I will mention that later, actually.
Look, I didn't think Donald Glover was very bad, but I thought the whole movie was fairly pointless. And don't know. It just seemed so money-driven. I don't know.
I think at this point, those are Star Wars story ones. Yeah. Like, going in, you know that's what it was created for.
But I have to say, maybe this is just specific to me, but I loved Rogue One.
Oh, I thought that
was so good.
No, I'll agree with that.
So I think my expectations were set way too high based on what sort of register they were telling those stories on.
See, that's the thing, right, is that so far with these new movies, we've gotten Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rogue One, all of which have been fairly... generally well-received.
Yeah.
Consistent and well-received. Yeah. And then this is probably the lowest by a fair margin from those new movies. But, I mean, that was going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
I was the same as you, Kelsey. I went in with really low expectations. Because I was like, they're going to ruin Han Solo. I went in with two things that I was like, okay, if they don't have him win the Millennium Falcon by beating Lando in a card game, and he doesn't save Chewie from the Empire, I'll be pissed. And the fact that they did those two things was enough for me to go, okay, this is pretty good.
True.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed, actually, in the Chewie moment, because, like, in the whole expanded universe, which they've now said isn't canon, he physically sort of saves him from the Empire, and there's a little bit more about the Wookiees and stuff, whereas he was just, like, a captive person, and then they kind of had that battle, and then he's like, oh, now we're besties. I was like, I wanted to see him... like physically save Chewbacca to be like a now I owe you a life debt type thing.
Whereas that was just sort of
he spared you. That was what Chewie did. He didn't like owe you anything. He could have gotten out with or without you by the looks of that. Yeah,
they brush over it pretty swiftly once that scene's done.
The beginning is so swift.
It is
him joining that group was one thing that was like all of a sudden he's just in that crew.
Just
like instantly.
I think that was my issue, is that there wasn't a lot of explanation for why all that happened. It seemed like Han can just talk his way through anything, and then the whole movie is just him fucking up and then getting into a deeper situation and then having to continuously do that again until hoping that it works out.
It's kind of in vogue at the moment, isn't it? The wise talking.
It is. The charismatic.
I think Solo... you know, these films that kind of colour in the spaces left open by the trilogies and stuff, they run the risk of colouring memories that are better left in your head.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
I agree.
Rogue One told and it was in between the canon of the main films, but it exists as kind of a standalone story.
Mm, yeah.
It didn't take a character's fidelity and put it into question.
Yeah. It added a lot of new characters.
Yeah.
Whereas Solo didn't really do that. Mm. But they
weren't excellent characters.
Yeah. Except for Paul Bettany.
Oh, yeah. He was amazing.
Underused,
he was
phenomenal, though, I think.
Yeah.
I saw him in Infinity War, and I remembered he existed. That's a guy.
He's making a comeback. To be honest, like,
I had that thought as well. I was like, is that Vision from Infinity War? I was like, oh, yeah, it is. Fair enough. No, he was fantastic. Yeah. He's
a great actor. He just kind of disappeared for a couple of years there, I thought. But maybe he has been working, and I just haven't seen it.
No, the standouts for me acting-wise were him. Woody Harrelson, I thought, was a... fantastic.
He's always switched on.
He is. He hasn't done any wrong in the past few years, at least I don't think so. And I forget his name, but whoever played Han, I thought he did very well.
Alden Einrund.
Yeah, bizarre, something like that.
I thought he did a good job.
He did better than I thought he did.
Yeah.
That's a tough role.
Big shoes.
The money's good, so you know, whatever, ultimately. But it'd be tough.
It's got to be tough, though. First of all, following up Harrison Ford.
Yes.
And then having the expectations of... Because you don't want to be exactly like the way Harrison Ford did it.
Can you imagine how much of a wreck the whole film would have been if he was doing a Harrison Ford impression?
Yeah.
That would have been the worst. It's
like we watched a Lando movie with Donald Glover in it.
Yeah.
So you did not
I did not like Donald Glover.
Interesting.
And I like Donald Glover as a artistic...
Friend.
As a comrade. as an artist, I guess, is the best way for him to say, because he puts everything... He has everything in right now. You just can't... see him as Lando. It's Donald Glover.
He does have that.
I don't know. For me, I didn't find that. I found that he was a perfect Lando as he was described when they first run it. Go to the Cloud City and everything, and we knew he was a swindler and he was a smooth talker. He still is, sort of thing. Yeah. Says some similar lines that he said to Leia to the other women.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was perfect as Lando, young Lando.
You can imagine him growing up to be Billy Dee Williams, can't you?
Yeah.
A little bit. Sure, yeah.
I didn't think he was as smooth as what Billy Dee Williams was.
No.
I thought in moments he did it well, and then other moments he was very obviously doing a Billy Dee Williams impression.
I got that as
well. Okay, this is good when you're not trying as much.
Mm.
Exactly. And then in other moments it was like, okay, you're trying way too hard.
There were moments with his performance, and honestly with most of the movie, where I would see, it'd be a 5-minute scene with him or something, and I'd be with him in that, being like, all right, I'm with you, I believe you, and then next scene he'd do something to take me out of that.
I'm Lando!
Honestly,
get it, Donald!
Yeah, the accent ruined it, the impersonation ruined it for me a lot.
Yeah, I the best scene with him, I think, was the last scene, when he actually wins the card game against him.
Yep.
When Han kind of steals his cards out of his
thing,
and then they actually have that card game. The whole thing, like, he walks up and he goes, Chewie, rip his arms off. And then he freaks out.
Yeah.
Like, that was the most cohesive from, I thought, both of the actors that were doing those pre-established roles. Was that one little scene.
Yeah.
The rest of it was good, but not as good as that one tiny scene at the end.
That's fair. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I can't think of a specific scene that I liked with Lando. I mean, I did, obviously, but as I said, it goes back and forth between...
One scene I hated was him doing the diary thing.
I hated
it so much.
It was funny, but thinking about it, I'm like, this is so lame.
It wasn't funny, and the humor in that movie sucked. I really hated it.
There were a lot of beats, that didn't quite... hit where they wanted to.
Especially because when L3 gets introduced, and that's obviously...
She was good.
I thought she
was good at the start, and then they grinds mined on you a bit. Her for everything she was
exactly.
worth.
Very quickly. Completely. It ran dry very quickly for me.
Yeah. I think there was pacing issues that I would say in the movie. Like, it was almost ran like a heist movie, but never before... in a Star Wars movie, have I checked the time as much as I did? And then I'd be like, oh, where are we at as far as plot goes? Because it feels like we're vamping up to the end. No, we're about halfway through. Mm. Like, stuff is to come. I got a bit, I was frustrated because, you expect a heist movie to sort of follow certain beats. And I feel like it just fell short. And those were the moments that, you didn't really get into the plot anymore.
During The Last Jedi, I was like, I don't want this to end.
Yeah.
The movie's going to end soon. I don't want it to end. Oh, there's more. Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not have that problem.
there was one bit that was funny where it was like they did the heist and then they went through the moor and then they had the whole gravity well bit and it turned into Star Trek for about 5 minutes when they're like, we need to pump the fuel into the thing to make it go faster so we can get out of the gravity well.
Zachary Smith walks through.
It was really odd.
It was weird. It felt like it wanted to be like four different movies at various different times.
Yeah. I think for me, like the deaths right at the beginning were just completely... I mean, it's Woody Harrelson who would be reacting to said death and maybe that's the whole idea behind his character. But I'm like, they painted that as like... this is their crew. They've been doing stuff for ages. Anyway, hey, do you want to start a new adventure? Yeah. Like, it was like, oh, we're not going to grieve even for like 5 minutes of a scene.
And like, I really liked the pilot guy. I can't remember his name, but I thought he was cool.
Am I right in saying that he was played by John Favreau?
Correct.
Was
he? Yep, he was close. Yeah.
So they had Tandy Newman and John Favreau, and they were like, all right, great, good job.
You die in 5 minutes. Yeah.
That bugged me. I thought they'd be... still in it, you know, continuing on.
But they had to fridge him so they could get Han to fly the ships.
Yeah.
Because he's a great pilot. Guarantee it. He's a great pilot.
Yeah. Oh, that was...
the thing just is, every 5 minutes. He's a great pilot.
These spin-offs, if they keep doing them, there's eventually going to be 200 great pilots in Star Wars.
Yeah.
They'll do a movie about Wedge. Wedge Antilles.
That's going to come.
That'd be great. I love it, guys.
That'd be great.
Wedge.
A solo story.
There was a bit when the original, I can't remember, John Favreau's character died, and they were on, and Han took the ship, and he was dying, and he was in his like death throes, and he said, "Oh, you are a great pilot." He hadn't done anything. He was just holding he hadn't moved the ship.
Also, being a great pilot's kind of a shit title, to be totally honest, in the Star Wars world, I think.
He did some cool things when they were in the moor, you know, where I love the bit where he flipped the ship and hit the TIE fighter into the rock. That was cool. But that moment where he said, "You're a great pilot," but you hadn't done anything.
Basically, you're like, "Yeah, I don't really know what flying is."
Exactly.
American audiences need to be told. They can't just figure something out. It's like, "He's a great pilot, guys. Do you know he's a great pilot? Guys, he's a great pilot."
Because I'm a great pilot.
Great pilot on the bottom of the screen.
And I don't think Han ever really went on about being a great pilot that much in the originals.
Oh, in the original, no. But in this one, he did.
I think it's mentioned.
He showed it. He proved it. He never said it.
He did the kettle run.
The kettle run. Yeah, he says that once when they meet first. Hey? Mm.
Yeah.
That's it.
Or when he's talking about the Falcon, because he's like, what a hunk of junk. And he's like, oh, this, you know, did the kettle run.
And then we got to see the kettle run.
Which was all right.
Eh.
Mm.
I mean, what else would you expect from it?
I don't know. I wanted something.
I think a big issue I had was that it couldn't build stakes in the movie a whole lot.
Yeah.
Especially because the whole thing, especially like the Kessel Run as an example, is that, you know, you've got this highly explosive material and you're trying to get there in a point of time that it seems like it's impossible. But they don't really address that.
Yeah, they didn't address exactly how.
No.
He went through the moor, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But was that what cut
that
the
time? That was the shortcut, apparently. Yeah. And then they go to hyperspace.
Yeah, and then they got attacked by the giant space tentacle beast.
Yeah.
Which I felt bad for. Maybe I'm being a good girl. I was like, what about the octopus? Aww.
Did you see it?
He was providing for his family.
All these other little octopus.
Why did I have to go out today?
I felt bad for the guy.
Octopus. A Star Wars story.
I would watch that.
I would actually watch that. Maybe not 2 hours.
Don't you do want to see 3PO at his dinner party? Hello, everybody.
And the octopus is there.
Let's play Scrabble. Different audiences, different demographics. I'm going to like that movie.
Yeah. If that Star Wars in it, I'm going to watch it.
I don't know. Even I've got my limits, eh? I don't not see 3PO, at least.
Yeah, I think you draw the line at a droid movie.
Yeah.
There will be one.
I mean, they announced a Boba Fett movies in the works.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I did think after coming out of Solo, I'm like, man, I would have preferred to see Boba Fett. Mm. Or like another kind of...
Kenobi is what I want.
Kenobi would be
fantastic.
Yeah, can
we talk the cameo then? Because I'm guessing that's why... The
reveal.
The reveal, I'm guessing that's going to be relevant to the Kenobi movie because Darth Maul
Is that what it is? Because I haven't seen Rebels and I know Darth Maul has a big place in Rebels.
He does.
So he is, like, he did survive and he's, like, part sort of machine, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I'm guessing they're bringing that to the movie.
Oh, so is that canon now?
I assume so. If it's Rebels.
In Rebels. Yeah, Rebels is canon.
Because Solo's set in between 3 and 4?
Yes, but... there's a problem with the time when you think about it. They talk about him going to Tatooine right after.
Yeah.
For me, there has to be more of a gap between what happened in Solo and when he actually meets Luke.
Yeah.
So maybe he goes to Tatooine, he does that job for Jabba that he's then wanted for later when he meets Luke, and then there's a more extended period of time. Also, because he's there has to be.
Because
he's older as well when he first meets
Luke. And that was actually going to be another one of my criticisms when I left the film. I was expecting for there to be something major that would happen to him to make him into such a jaded asshole.
Yes. Yeah,
and we get to the end and you're kind of like, oh, he kind of went okay. Like, Like, I thought the chick would do something major to him. So, like, he hated women until he met Leia. Or, like, I thought that was going to be a big thing. And I'm like, no, he didn't do too bad there. So I hope there's something in between, because that was going to be another thing I was going to say. I was like, this does not bring us to the Han Solo that we know.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Like, he's helping people. He's saving the world. Yeah. He was always against that Luke met him.
It almost felt like they were trying to set up a sequel for Solo.
I was
Solo.
About to say that.
Yeah.
That was about, that's
which
what it sounds
is
like.
A weird concept for me.
There's going to be a Star Wars trilogy, and there's going to be a prequel trilogy, a sequel trilogy, a Solo trilogy, and then there'll be like a different character in Solo
trilogy.
Don't
forget
the
robot movie,
The robot movie, the Octopus trilogy. There's going to be these trilogies within trilogy.
But that's a very, I mean, going back to what Simon said earlier, a very money-grubby thing to do to set it up for a sequel.
Pretty much.
I do agree with that partially.
Yeah, Rogue One was good because it was self-contained.
And they had a lot of liberties that they could work around, because it was very vague about what
it was a really good entry point for a Star Wars film, because there's no pressure on any of it, and it's all just stuff you can build off of and be creative with.
Whereas the Solo movie had the reputation of Han Solo, Chewbacca, Lando, all this predetermined stuff.
More stakes in it to...
That any
more of a risk.
Yeah, more of a risk in terms of making the movie.
It also just wasn't a very creative movie.
No.
Like, that based on the framework that you have of Han Solo, like, they didn't really do anything with that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, other than just him talking out of his way in situations and then failing horribly. I did like that he failed a lot.
Yeah,
in the movie.
Sure. But he fails a lot originally as
well. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why I enjoy it.
I would have liked to see him more in the Empire, because again, that was kind of those few comic things, like
that was cool.
Of, you know, how did he become a good pilot? Because he was trained, he did a lot of stuff with the Empire. They just kind of left that a lot. Yeah. I was like, it would have been nice to maybe spend about half there, and then for him to kind of rebel and go, this isn't for me.
They might have felt that's too much, too similar to Finn. He sort of got the Imperial.
Yeah, there were it echoed that a little bit.
Yeah, because the love story was mostly pointless.
Air quotes love story.
Yeah. I was glad that it wasn't a love story in the sense that he met her and had to fall in love with her. I was glad that there was established already at the start. That was good, because at least we didn't have to watch Han Solo fall in love with someone. He was already in love with her,
tricky.
So it's okay.
Because you've got the Leia relationship too, and you have fans that are going like... Mm.
It was odd.
It's hard to play with that.
Yeah.
So having it established at the start, at least... It's like, oh, that's his old girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
You can be okay with
that. Yeah, that was okay. But then the whole point of, like you were saying, he left the Empire for her, though.
Mm.
He didn't leave the Empire, like, because he didn't like what the Empire was doing.
Yeah.
He just left because he wanted to go get her back.
Yeah.
Which was a bit...
It's disappointing in his character.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's a weak decision, I think, to make for
his
character.
And I guess, just from the promos, I was expecting her to be, like... bad or do something bad.
Yeah.
Mm. So there was no, like, I don't know if that was just bad choices by the promos, but I was like, I was waiting for it. Like, how was it going to happen?
That'll
it wasn't like
in,
a question.
That'll come in Solo 4.
And she never really went full bad, though.
No.
That's
not
it
really.
Was weird. It was, she middled the whole time.
Mm.
Well, no, she was she tried to hide a lot of it.
Yeah.
For no, like,
but
for
it was
no real
like,
reason.
Hey, look, I've done bad things.
You want to tell me? No.
Tell me who the bad things are. You're not going to see. She did two badass things through the whole thing.
One
of them, she can do martial arts.
Yeah.
Cool.
One of them you didn't see because it was behind a door. The other one, she just flipped one guy. That was it.
Yeah.
I forgot that.
She's
actually
a great pilot. That's not a pilot.
Yeah.
She can use a sword.
Apparently.
They see her cutting some sausage and they're like, oh, she's trained with weapons.
One has hope. I guess Darth Maul could have taught her something, I guess.
No, I think,
assume?
I don't know.
Then Voss was the one who supposedly taught her.
Yeah.
With his little weird, like,
I liked those bad weapon.
Yeah. Lightsaber blade things.
Were they supposed to be lightsabers?
No, I don't think they were lightsabers.
I don't think they were, but I think they needed something like a lightsaber because they're like, this is Star Wars. It has to have a glowy weapon.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I didn't mind those. I thought they were alright. They were fine. That whole end fight seems fine.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
I do like the lightsabers and they entertain me.
The vroom, vroom. It's a fun sound.
It is a good sound. I hear sometimes when I'm just walking through my house.
I do it if I nearly miss a car.
It's a good sense of humour in that moment.
Yeah, you got to lighten it up
I
somehow.
I normally cry. I'm like, how can I not cross the road properly? I'm 27.
Just trying to be positive, all right? It was an interesting movie, I think.
I came out thinking I enjoyed this more than I expected, and that was good enough for me. They didn't ruin the character.
Yep.
They made weird decisions. They didn't add much to the Star Wars mythos, but...
Yeah. I think it's a movie you can easily ignore.
Yeah.
Being totally honest.
I guess I wasn't really worried about the character of Han. There was nothing for me.
I wasn't either. I mean, I'm into the Star Wars universe, but not that far into it, so I don't, you know... I understand most films have to take creative liberty on something, and if they want to run with something, go for it. If it's interesting, then I'll enjoy it. But yeah, it just is very much a nothing movie, really.
Mm-hmm. Han Solo is hard because he's a charismatic character, but a lot of that charisma comes from him being
Harrison Ford.
Well, yeah. I mean, my mum loves Harrison Ford more than she loves me. So. I can only imagine how daunting that role is, but it comes from him almost being this enigma that kind of just walks into their lives, and to go back and explain it in like a 3-point character arc, and I can understand frustrations with it, and
he's a complex character.
Yeah, and yet to like not spoil it in like a they like a ruined it way, but just exploring it's too
It's complicated because there's so many different facets of it you can go down.
Which Star Wars spin-off would you most like to see?
I have a few in my mind. Like, I would, more than seeing a Kenobi movie, I would like to see a Darth Maul movie.
I was about to say.
I would just like to follow him.
Darth Maul or any of the higher up Sith in the Empire. Because that'd be an interesting...
Young Palpatine would be interesting.
One or the other, yeah. Mm. But like having a movie where you're following the villain...
Mm-hmm.
And ignoring the prequel movies or Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
You can. The truth about Jar Jar Binks.
Scratch that. Pod racing movie. I want it.
We've already gone over the pod racing movie.
Want a pod racing movie. Great.
I've never. Make it into a sports movie.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Racing. I've never been into like. Racing or cars or anything. Well,
I want the Stanley Cup, but as like pod racing. I want Mighty Ducks pod racing.
it's like pod racing from like a news caster's perspective. I'm like, the pod's going around the corner,
and that pod's going around the corner. Isn't it?
That's too much energy. It's too like, it's like sailing or something.
Well, you do one way or the other. It's either like horse racing commentators or like golf commentators.
Yeah, horse racing
or golf.
He's coming up to the hurdle. Or... The young Zabrakian has burst into flames.
Oh dear!
It's one less for their race, okay?
See, I'd be more keen for Kenobi than Boba Fett.
Is Kenobi happening?
I think so.
Yeah, it's not. It's more solid now than it was. Before.
I heard Boba Fett was a go, which
it is.
A lot of people like that character. Never did it for me for some reason, but I think he's like possibly the most iconic. Why didn't you do more with that characters
yeah.
in
yeah.
history?
Yeah, well, they call it Boba Fetting now, if that happens to somebody. Yeah. Like, an underused, like, Phasma, they call, like, she got Boba Fetted. Like,
oh, she did.
Yeah.
Oh, she did, man. Right.
But, wait for the Phasma trilogy.
Yeah. That's how they're doing things now.
Apparently.
I'd like to see a Qui-Gon Jinn movie.
Yeah.
That guy was cool. And I love him.
Yeah.
I would like to see Mace Windu.
Oh. Yes, actually, yes. Mace Windu.
How did he get the purple lightsaber?
Yes.
He asked for it, apparently.
Yeah.
And in the old expanded universe, he had this story of being a bit darker. Like, he experimented with darker fighting techniques.
Mm.
And, like, his lightsaber, I guess, could symbolically be a representation of that.
It actually is.
And, like, I know there's something really cool there. Like, how he can be that sort of zen about good and evil and... that much of a Jedi, and he was going to beat Sidious too.
He did.
Had him down. Yeah. That Hayden Christian, not blaming Anakin Skywalker. Hayden Christian ruined that.
He cops too much shit, Hayden Christian.
Oh, I think he does.
Yeah. He's quit acting.
I think doesn't he do a lot of like advocacy work?
Yeah, he's like fundraising and stuff now. Yeah, he's like.
He was. Good I really human. Liked him in Shattered Glass, which is a movie with Hank Azaria.
Mm.
And he plays a journalist movie. Who fabricates a story and it's about Hank chasing down the truth. And he does a really good job because he plays into those more whiny characteristics that he...
Because that was really hard for him to do.
It's like, well, you're a great actor, Aiden. You got whiny down pat.
Thank you. They found his typecast. Once you got that, you're fine.
Yeah.
Just want to be better.
That was like a Backstreet Boy almost.
He could play
Backstreet
both the Hanson brothers. How many Hansons
are
there?
There's three.
But
superimpose them three times and then he got the band.
Yeah, it could be his acting comeback. It could be his Paul Bettany moment as he plays the Hanson trilogy.
Oh, God. That's great.
Hanson Hayden story.
I guess your point from earlier is that there's going to be a lot of... They have a lot of room to make more stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of possibilities.
I'm sure that's why they brought in Laura Dern for
The
Last Jedi. They're going to make a young Leia
and
Laura movie. I've forgotten her character's name.
I don't think she's pivotal in the movie.
Yeah. No. Purple head, Laura Dern.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, never mind. I just remembered her.
Yeah, pointless character. Remember
I already talked about pointless plot when you think about it.
Yeah.
She just shared the information.
Yeah.
It was in there just to put her in.
Yeah.
And so they can do more with it later and market to little girls and get dolls.
Not dolls. Get dolls.
don't mean it like that. Like action figures and merchandise and...
Yeah.
Laura Dern dolls, is that right?
Yeah, I want a Laura Dern doll. I want like three Laura Derns in my house.
So did anyone else see the big... blockbuster in the last few weeks, Deadpool.
I did.
No, but I don't see movies very often. I've seen Deadpool 1, and after that, I was like, I get it, and I didn't really feel inclined to see Deadpool 2.
I was impressed with Deadpool was entertaining. I've never been a Ryan Reynolds person. He's always just irked me, but I think it's because I confuse him with Dane Cook. And he just gets, like, fallout from that, and it's not his fault at all.
I can't unsee that now. No. You're right.
I like it. Like, he just always seems like he's trying to be Ryan Reynolds. I'm sure he's a really cool guy, but he just shoves it out of his face. It's a beautiful face. But just stop shoving it out of there, you know?
What did you think of Deadpool, Kelsey?
I liked it. I think when I left, I didn't know how I felt. So they did a lot of playing with the whole promo not matching up with the film concept, which kind of like came from Infinity War, I guess, with the moment where they're running towards the screen and Hulk is there and he's not there in the movie. Like little changes. So obviously I feel like that was a joke within itself that they didn't deliver the movie that all the trailers were... shouting
Josh
about.
Brolin wasn't even in it.
Yeah. So, but I really liked it, I think. I think I'm still stewing a little bit. It was very, very different, and I liked that we didn't have to waste time on an origin story. It was nice that it just sort of began. Mm.
What's the actual plot of the movie? What actually happens?
So, Gillian Dennison's... Yeah, spoilers, obviously. Gillian Dennison, who was in Hunt for the World of People.
Yeah.
I forget his name. Fire Fist, that's it. In it.
Right.
He's in sort of...
Fire Fist is going to be in any sort of movie.
This is just like
Deadpool.
A quick wrap up.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't want to go through the whole thing, but he's in a mutant kind of orphanage, basically.
Called the X-Men.
No, not the X-Men. It's like a shitty orphanage where they experiment on them, trying to make them stop
Essex.
Being mutants. Essex, that's it.
Essex, England.
Is it actually Essex in the movie?
Well, it's called like Essex Orphanage. It's a reference to a character.
Okay.
He goes nuts. Him and Deadpool get arrested because Deadpool joins the X-Men for like 2 minutes.
Right.
And then they go to prison. Cable shows up. Cable wants to kill him because in the future, Fire Fist kills Cable's family.
Right.
That's the story, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I loved Josh Brolin. I thought he was awesome, good. And there was at no point where I was like, you know, oh yeah, he was Thanos. Like, I recently watched him. There was no point where I
that's good.
No,
he was amazing.
He's a brilliant actor, and it's so weird that he's in two of the biggest blockbusters. Like, they're both in the Marvel Universe. I know that Deadpool's sort of outside the Marvel Cinematic Universe, kind of the way they're...
Yeah, it's Fox. Yeah. It's Fox, so it's not really.
But it's still a Marvel character, and he's like, he's like Thanos, and he's a Cable. It's like, what? This guy's just the X-Men. He can just be all of them. He's Jean Grey. He's Dark Phoenix.
He was perfect, though.
Yeah, he was great.
Just perfect. Yeah.
Just exactly as you thought Cable was. You know, like when those two would interact, Cable would always be trying to be serious, and his sense of humor was then on that sort of serious note of making fun of Deadpool, and Deadpool's just not having any of it, and like messing around and stuff like that. And that was exactly the relationship they built straight away. They didn't waste too much time to knowing that Cable is he will become a good guy. Yeah. So I liked that too, because if you're a fan, you go in kind of going, oh my God, I hope this doesn't take the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it didn't, which was nice. Yeah. Don't know how I felt about Juggernaut.
I liked Juggernaut. I thought he was good.
I got really excited when I heard he was in it. Yeah. So he's always been one of my favorites.
He's a great character, and they don't... I mean, like, he's not used that much.
X-Men 3 kind of ruined Juggernaut for me.
Yeah,
X-Men
3.
Oh,
the Juggernaut, bitch!
This is like an actual version of Juggernaut, though.
Yeah, really upset. Like, I don't normally get really too high on the fidelity thing. But when they made him a mutant in X-Men 3, it's like his whole thing is that he's weirded out by mutants. Like,
he's too much of a meme for me right now, to be totally honest. But at least he's good in this movie.
Yeah, no. It's a lot of the jokes land quite well in it.
Mm.
They're pretty much exactly the same as the first one.
But they didn't use the same jokes, which I
they
like.
They did
like
once.
When...
The baby legs thing. They did the arms thing from the first one. Was it arms?
It was his hand. Or
hand, yeah. Which I wasn't a massive fan of that joke. Mm. But everything else was good. Like, he calls Josh Brolin Thanos at one point. Yeah. Which
you got it.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome.
And there's a really, like, kind of deep... joke about Rob Liefeld, who's the person who created Deadpool in the comics. There's a joke about, what are you, a character that was created by someone who can't draw feet? Which is just a reference to Rob Liefeld because he's a crap artist. Yes.
Yeah. So I can't
that was
draw
really
feet
cool.
either.
Oh, feet are awful.
Can't draw anything.
I liked the Hawkeye joke. So it was like when he had got like the thing that nulled his powers or whatever, and he's like, give me a bow and arrow and I'm practically Hawkeye right now. And I was like, oh,
that's great.
That was unnecessary.
Good. Yeah.
That's good.
I was glad that when they put the power thing on, he started basically dying straight away. Because I forgot about that. I was like, oh shit, yeah, if he loses his power, he's just going to start dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, true.
He just has
that's
cancer. Like, that's his power.
That is not a superpower.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really depressing when you think about it.
Yeah.
My superpower is cancer.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool though. Deadpool to like, because he is kind of, not invincible, but he's got that super healing factor. So to like put him in some sort of crisis like that is actually...
It's portrayed like he's invincible. Like,
yeah, so,
like,
it's nice
very
to see
hard
him.
To
oh, he is. He blows himself up in the movie into like multiple pieces.
Yes.
Mm.
And they just drag him back to the X-Men mansion and put him back together.
He's practically...
I think that's what I liked about that movie actually, is that they kind of did more explanation then on that. They spent a lot of time of Deadpool either not being in his suit or being without his powers, or just showing, oh wow, this is what his powers can do, whereas I think in the first movie they didn't really have time for that.
No, because
they're doing origin stuff. Well, that's true, because the first one I thought was really fun, and a lot of the interest going in was like, oh, how crazy is it going to be? It's Deadpool. It's going to be like, it's the first superhero Deadpool. Like,
Yep.
Right.
Use your words.
There's a good joke at the start about that, actually, about how that was the first R superhero movie, and he makes a joke about how Logan came out and it was R.
That's right.
And he's just like, God damn it, and you got critical acclaim and it died. Well, I can die too. And that's when he blows himself up.
That's good. I like that. So that's I'm great. Glad that they're playing with it a little bit.
Yeah. That was really good. Like the first one is pretty much the same as this one, basically. Yeah. Like, quality-wise, I feel.
Yeah, if you enjoyed it, you won't be upset going into the second one.
People felt really good about the first one, I think.
I think because it was a bit of a culture shock for superhero movies, at least.
It's like, you know, there's pressure on, like, if they can top it, or if they sort of stay the same, or if they...
Well, when did the first movie come out?
Not that long ago.
14, 15? 15? Something like that.
Around there.
Yeah. Around that time, 15, I think. But but there's been a big gap enough between those two movies where you don't get burnt out by it.
Yeah.
So I think people were in the mood to see another Deadpool movie. Mm. And if it's similar to the first movie, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. My big question is, and this is going to be major spoilers, is the whole time paradox thing that we're left with at the end.
Yes.
Because they do a big post-credits
thing.
It's
awesome.
Where it's amazing that Deadpool kind of rights all of the wrongs, not only in his life, but also through Marvel, Fox, all that sort of stuff. So not only does he kill Ryan Reynolds when he's looking at the Green Lantern script.
Great.
Like, he does a lot of stuff, but he does save the girlfriend who dies. Yeah. He does a few different things, and a lot of people, this is a big discussion that a lot of people are having, is this canon then? And a lot of people are saying, well, yes, of course, all post-credit scenes are, but this is Deadpool we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
Because he saves her. And that's what I was like, oh, okay, so the problem with the time paradox then is he saves her, but then that kind of nulls what happened in the movie.
Yeah,
so
like,
how does he get to that point?
That's the thing with paradoxes. And Ryan Reynolds is still alive. So
I failed.
Yeah.
The best bit of it for me was him going back and killing the original Deadpool that he played in X-Men Wolverine Origins. And he stands there and he shoots him. And then you've got Wolverine's claws in the foreground while he does it. But then he doesn't just shoot him once. He just stands there. He just lays into him. Multiple times. It's great.
And doesn't he say something like, oh, just got to fix the timeline.
Yeah.
And I was like, great.
It's nice that they can own up to their fuck-ups.
Yeah.
And
fix it
like
there's
that.
A lot of humor in that. And it's nice. It's
but
nice
that's all down to Ryan Reynolds going, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Was
he fucking hated that role.
Was he a producer on Deadpool 2?
Yeah. He, if it wasn't for him, the
Deadpool
movies
one.
Wouldn't exist.
Yeah, he was pushing really hard for them. Really
he was the one who leaked it.
Yeah.
Like, every interview, he's always pretty he's smart about it. He's always some idiot leaked it. But he's heavy undertones.
See, I should like him. He's
learned
cool.
a lot, so he's great.
I love Ryan Reynolds.
You have really no reason to not like him.
No, I find a lot of his performances do Van Wilder. I liked him in Scrubs. He only had an episode.
Oh yeah, he
really
did.
Good. I do.
Two guys, a girl, and a pizza place. Start there. You'll learn to love him. His first little show. He's hilarious.
I don't know. I want him to hold me.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense. Really doesn't, but each their own.
It's confusing.
It is. It sounds like it.
All right. So to wrap up, Deadpool, you liked it?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Has anyone seen him in Buried?
Buried?
No. Ryan Reynolds, not Deadpool.
Reynolds in a box.
It's that movie. Yeah. That the trailer scared me, and I didn't want
it's
to see
depressing.
It.
Yeah.
It's the one where he's buried alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have.
I haven't seen it. No, I have a fear of that.
I have a chronic fear of that. Yeah, I don't want
don't
that. So no. Yeah, I'm not watching it. That sounds like the worst thing ever.
So what we might do is we might move on to this week's Bunker Battle. And what we do in the Bunker Battle is we take a look at kind of screen media stuff and we decide what should be preserved forever in the bunker when everything is destroyed and we have to rely on what we have stocked up to get through the days. This week, I've been told we should do two actors.
Ooh.
So...
Ryan Reynolds.
Is this a weird version of Mary?
No,
Bang.
It's a pick one or the other. The one you don't pick gets chucked into a nuke.
Yeah, but you can still bang them before they.
Okay,
go.
Cool. I'll add
so
that
for
in
the
later.
Two actors, what I think we should do is kind of like their overall bodies of work.
Okay,
oh,
not
yeah.
them,
okay.
not
themselves.
Them themselves, because that would be weird.
I've been corresponding with Brie Larson for a long time.
I'm glad you said of work and just didn't end on bodies. That would have gotten very weird. Also, I'll point out, because usually this is a terrible system when there's only four of us, but we have a fifth.
Yeah,
so we can actually
say,
have a decision.
There won't be a tie.
We should have thought of this from the start.
Yeah.
It's a terrible system.
All right, let's go. What is
we're,
it?
We're
let's
doing do. Dame Judi Dench and Helen Mirren.
I was really excited. I was going to choose Judi Dench.
Yeah.
And then you chose another dame.
It's a shame that it's not about them. I'm so sorry.
So which one would you bang? Oh, okay.
We're not doing an FMK.
Although Helen Mirren was absolutely stunning back in the day. She still is.
I've never seen her.
How do you know this?
I saw her in an interview with Conan O'Brien a couple of years ago, and she had a picture of her when she did modelling. And she used to smoke weed too. She's cool. Like she's,
so yeah. Your vote's going there?
Yes. And the Queen, like, it's the first time I wanted to bang the Queen. Sorry.
Okay. Do you want a shovel for that hole you're digging, or?
She's going to send her gold robots after me. Maybe there can be another royal wedding.
She can stick the corgis on her wrist. The
corgis.
Oh, just stop.
They've got rockets. The corgis are flying at me. I have to defend myself.
It's like the sharks with laser beams on their head. And it's corgis with laser beams.
The corgis shoot eye lasers. They're so little that they just like burn my leg hairs a little bit. I'm like, ouch! Stop shooting lasers at me.
Well, I'm going to segue and I'm going to say Helen Mirren. Me.
Okay. Why?
I liked her in Red.
Okay.
That is it. Dame Judi Dench. I've only really watched like the Bonds that she's been in, and she's, you know, okay. Mm. But for me, nothing major and memorable.
Yeah,
for me.
That's true. I can see that. Ben?
Oh, me? I'll go Judi Dench. Just because I've seen more of her movies, and I just remembered, as Kelsey was talking, she was in Iris, I believe. Was she? Yeah. Okay. Was she? She was. Know. Have you seen them? No, has anyone seen that movie?
No, that was Helen Mirren.
It's a tragic, tragic movie. If you need a good cry, watch that.
I was going to just cry on my way home, but I might go home and watch it.
She plays a writer. I haven't seen it for a couple of years, but she plays a writer that has dementia and slowly deteriorates throughout the movie, and it's very, very sad. I think she's just a phenomenal actor. I haven't seen much of Helen Mirren's works, to be totally honest. I don't think she gets as much publicity as Dame.
Yeah, I can't. I'm struggling right now to actually think of movies. Exactly. This way around.
Exactly, right? Like, just when you said both, yeah.
Who would win? Judi Dench. In a lightsaber duel.
Judi Dench.
Ooh, I reckon Judi Dench.
Yeah.
She has a ferocity to her.
She does. She seems like. Mm.
I think she'd be better with the Force.
Yeah, she'd be a Force user, not a. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she'd be like a Yoda. Sith.
I reckon Mirren would, like, have some cool flips and stuff.
Mm.
See if you are.
Break a hip afterwards.
I can see it.
Flip. Oh, my back.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I haven't seen that many movies with either of them. That's why it was kind of like I landed on that one because I liked her in Red and Red 2. I feel like there's definitely been some other movies that I would have seen Helen in, but...
There probably is. I just can't name any of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're always good whenever they're in things.
Yeah, they're both excellent people. Yeah.
They're such a good actors that they blend in.
Yeah.
Who they role, and you don't consciously think, like, what a performance.
Is it maybe an issue that them as people and actors kind of supersede the movies as a whole?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
They are, because they're such good actors that have been acting for such a long time, and they have very varied backgrounds. They haven't typecast themselves. I don't think it's an issue.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
I'm going to say Judi Dench.
Of course. What a shocker.
She has won my loyalty for life.
Yes.
She's the image on multiple Facebook chats that I'm
in. Oh, she is. She's a Han Solo for your Chewbacca.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a little bit weird, but all right.
Nick, you'd better vote Judi Dench.
I am going to vote Judi Dench.
Yes,
good stuff. Mostly for Philomena. Because I was struggling to think of movies I'd seen either of them in. And then I remembered Philomena. Mm. And I really enjoyed that movie, and she was great. Have you seen it, Simon?
Nope.
You haven't seen it? It's very good. Steve Coogan's in it, and I absolutely adore Steve Coogan. Yep. So anything that Steve Coogan's in, I'm all in for, and she was great in it as well.
So does this mean Judi Dench is physically joining us in the bunker?
No.
That's a bit weird.
I wanted to go Bodies of Work. I think
is so. She'll come in and she'll beat us up for not putting the Goonies in, I'm telling you.
See, that's the thing, right? She's old, but she could probably kick the shit out of us.
Yeah. Oh, she has me.
Give her a cane and yeah.
There's actually a time paradox where she's beaten me like 800 times.
A punch like Muhammad
Ali. This is the one universe in like 100 billion where Judy Dench is not beating up right now.
So we had 2 for Helen Mirren and 3 for Judy Dench.
Yes.
So Judy Dench is going to be going into the bunker. I know
that's
Simon
right.
is extremely
the works. The system works after 5 takes.
After, what
four
is it?
Five,
yeah,
4 or 5
is,
episodes.
Yeah, something like that. It finally worked. And I think we'll leave it there. So everybody, remember to like and subscribe. Do all that stuff you do on iTunes because I always forget what it is. And we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.